Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I was on the phone. Here I am trying to think about the dichotomy of this. You know, I'm not going to give any names, but I was talking to John on the phone.
Thank you.
This was years ago last week. No, this wasn't John. We were, you know, covering a city, you know, with what God had called us to do, and it was driven for a prophetic word, and the prophetic word is Malachi. You know, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. Well, I mean, it is everything comes against you when you're moving prophetically, because you're coming against the antithesis of that word. Mm-hmm. When God starts to launch a word and to reestablish or establish, you're coming against the establishment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're coming against people that says, God is not concerned about it anymore. You know, that God doesn't care about the fatherless. You know, God doesn't care about the absence of my father in my life, and or the fact I'm there but I'm not there type thing.
Right.
And you're coming out saying, no, it's important. And so here we are. You know, we're up at, you know, saturating the city, you know, during the early morning hours, and we wanted to be able just to kind of pop the next day when they came up, and they would you drive through the city. So we're putting 1,000 signs around the city, and then it has, you know, you know, Malachi on it, and one side it said, Dad, please take me, you know, and the other side it said, Sir, please take me, you know, and because nobody would ask. We had to ask on behalf of the kid, because most people say, you know, I'm so busy, I can't get to, and it's just powerful. God was using that to speak, you know, and part of the, you know, the campaign to fill in the virtual stadium, you'll hear more about it through VFN Radio. That is going to the next level for the whole nation now. But with that, I'm sitting here talking on the phone to somebody who just got married. They just got married, I don't know, maybe 24 hours ago. It was actually approximately almost hitting 48 hours.
Right.
And so I have, you know, this is the cell phones. It wasn't the brick, but it was a little bit.
Pretty close to the brick.
Pretty close to the brick. And
cement block.
Yeah, and every yard sign does not go in the ground well. You know, we determined in that city we were doing that in, that we understood that soil is different everywhere you go in the city.
Oh, yes.
That's not dirt. That's concrete. Yeah,
right. Looks like dirt.
And so we're driving this word home, you know, crying out for the fatherless. And of course, if we're going against the mindsets and the establishment, they just call you, they think you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the boys didn't think we were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They were pumped. Mm-hmm. They called cabs to come see us.
Yeah.
And the men were angry with us because we brought the ideas like, did you ever think about spending time with your son?
Mm-hmm.
Or we exposed the reality is that even a man wasn't willing to take a fatherless boy in the wilderness. I mean, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But then the ones that did, we found that out as well that, there was men, the men that stood there boldly today that I'm so proud of these men, especially what, you know, Satan does, you know, that it's the enemy is so against any form of attention that a man's going to pay any child anywhere, including his own. Anyway, so I'm on the phone. Now, you got to understand this. You know, we didn't just get here. I'm on the phone with this particular person who's been married now for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I talked to this person before they got married, you know, and listen, if you want to make sure you got a good foundation for your marriage, first of all, don't marry a Christian.
Mm.
Marry a godly person.
That's right.
I got good news for you. This will help you out. Oh, I'm a Christian. Right. You just showed up at this gathering because you're wanting to snag me as your spouse. Mm-hmm. No, I want to see your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you walk with God? Do you hear God? Do you obey God? Do you abide with God? And so these two Christians married, and I'm saying, listen, you know, go through some time of, you know, they call it counseling, but it's really not counseling. It's like, you know, what I'd like to do at that time, and I don't do it anymore, but I help other people do it, and is you want to find the stress points in a conversation with a couple and help them learn how to work through difficult circumstances and realize you can't teach people how to be married, but you can teach them how to abide with God and how to handle the tough things that come up. And if you can communicate, communion, part of healing me is hearing me. So anyway, that, you know, that's some of the things that, that I taught and teach others to do now. And a lot of people just avoid it. And then you just sit back and enjoy their life watching afterwards. Like, oh, so he says, you know, I'm sitting there just pleading with him because, you know, I love them and I love them. And I wanted him, I didn't want him to go through the pain. There's going to be pain no matter what you think. If you do not, I mean, first of all, relationships, period, with anybody, you know, if you love them enough, it's only the loving relationships that cause you pain. It's not the ones you don't love. I mean, come on. Right. And so, and hopefully, you know, who does God love? We should love everybody, right?
That's right.
That's right.
So everybody's a pain. It can cause pain, I mean.
Right.
And so, you know, in that, you know, I'm telling them, I'm leaning over this table, I'll never forget, and I'm saying, I know right now you're thinking that you're going to get married, because he's saying this. He goes, we'll just do that after we get married. Let me explain something to you.
Wrong answer.
Everything's going to change when the I do is done.
Over.
Yep.
I'm not saying bad or good, but just the motives change.
Yeah.
I've already married you. So why That's deal it. With myself? You know, why even be concerned about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I got you now, you know? And so he or she, you know, loses their motivation. But if they want to marry you, they're motivated on the other side of not married to you. And you've given away, it's like saying, hey, I want you to run a race, but here's a first place ribbon. And somebody says, I got the ribbon already. Why should I go through the pain and agony of running this race, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, of course, he looks at me like so many have done and says, dear Brother Greg, don't you understand? We're different than everybody else.
Mm.
I'm a worship leader. I am a leader in the church. Mm. I understand God. She even dances. When I sing, she dances around the place, worshiping God. You know, and I'm like, dude, listen to me.
Yeah.
You know? And it was for her sake as well. I mean, both of them.
Right.
Because my goal was I want you, when I say, do you take this man or woman to be your husband or wife, I just wanted you to know who it is. And don't just
but
say I do.
I do too.
Yeah. I want you to know who you're saying I do too. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if you said I do to what you knew who that I do was, I don't want to hear it. They are now your ministry. Enjoy your life. You know, and so here I end up, and so he didn't take the wisdom. But like Solomon, he learned the wisdom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so 48 hours after being married, he's calling me up. I'm out 3 o'clock in the morning prophesying with yard signs and setting these things, thousands of signs up, trying to find it's hard to find a good man. I told all the women in the communities, you know, at the time, I said, because I was trying to find mentors, you know, to take these boys for a weekend.
48 hours.
Which is equivalent to 13 and a half years of the average father's life.
That's right.
I'm like programmed with that. And so,
I know it.
Because an average father spends what?
37 seconds a day.
35 seconds a day of undivided attention with their children. And that was then. I'll tell them what it is now. He texted me. And
yeah,
so,
that was before smartphone.
Yeah, it was before smartphone. And so I'm prophesying with these signs, and I have this phone on my shoulder, and I'm talking to him, and one early morning, putting up 1,000 signs, can't we do this tomorrow, you know? And of course, it's early morning hours, and he's going, listen, and I said, yes. He said, she's following me around.
Humorous moments.
I said, you know, she's your wife. He says, you know, because, you know, if you've been single for a while, you just don't realize how selfish you are until you start living your life with people. When you start to be the church and quit just going to it, I mean, the narcissism and idolatry in the American church has become, our hearts become revealed, because you start finding out that's my stuff and my things and my time is like, no, it's God's.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's, you know, and it belongs to God. And anyway, so, you know, he said, you know, he's used to being, you know, into himself and isolated and that type of thing. And so he'd go to the next room and she would follow him into the room. Ladies, if you're listening right now, when a man walks away, you know, they're like rubber bands. You let them go. The further you let them go and get their thoughts together and their mind together, the further you will let them go, the quicker they'll come back. It's like a rubber band. You stretch it out. If you stretch it really far, it'll come back. But if every time they're trying to get a little stretch in the rubber band and you're letting the slack up, they're shutting down. You know, they're like, need some time to think. What I'm thinking now is not good. And but the interesting thing is this. You know, this is what he's saying. And this is a leader. This is a leader in the church, traditional expression of church. He's asking questions like, "Well, am I really married?" I'm like,
"Oh my God!"
I'm like,
"Are you serious?"
I'm thinking, "Hold on a minute. Don't do anything rash. You've been married 48 hours. Anything that you were going to do has already been done in this 48 hours. You know, you're married.
That's right.
And so, hold on a minute." But and it boiled down to this, that he was a fatherless boy that became a man. His father abandoned him. He didn't know how to be a man. I mean, society says, be a man. And they tell you, this is how you do it. It's like, that's not how you teach a man to be a man. And then you're going to ridicule me and shame me for not being what was never taught to me. You know, and so we're prophesying. So here I am. I mean, it just speaks volumes that I'm talking to the pain of a fatherless son, which is now in his late 30s or his mid 30s, whose father had abandoned him. And he's trying to figure out how to do this thing called what? Normal. And he doesn't feel normal. And at the same time, we're crying out for the next generations of sons. So I had an older son on one ear, and I had a prophetic sign in the other ear. Well, I had a religious church telling me this is not really that important. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
But the Lord said that unless this happens, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse. And what are we looking at? The whole earth is quaking and shaking right now.
Right.
I mean, the Lord showed up in my office. He showed up in his, I was in my office preparing for a gathering that I was going to speak at. And it was almost 10 years to the day that God called me when I was in Israel to do what I was doing. It was 10 years to the day because I remember talking to you, John, and looking back on on some documents or something at the time and goes, it's been 10 years to the month at least. And he showed up. His presence was in my office, and I just like, bam, I just stood at attention, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know, just charged environment. And it was like, the Lord speaks to me and says, you know, the prophecy's finished. They didn't turn. Now I'm commissioning you for the next season. It was powerful. It was a powerful transition that took place.
Yeah.
And, which was sad too, but right after that is when Haiti began to shake and quake, which is like 50% of the population there is 19 years old or younger. I mean, it is a fatherless people. Yeah. And it began at Haiti. It began in Haiti. And they're running through the people who, so many people who denied God, and they're Christians in Haiti. But, you know, all the voodoo and all the corruption and their pact, that their historical pact that was made with the adversary years ago. They're running through the streets as it's shaking, and they're crying out to God. They said, we deserve this. Oh, dear God, have mercy. They're screaming, running down the streets. You know, it's like, but, you know, we can respond to God by just doing what's right. We don't have to wait for the earth to quake and shake. But look, ever since that day, ever since that encounter, after that 10-year, for 10 years, nonstop, driven to drive that word home, that prophetic word home, and it was so loud that the governor of the state began to change his speeches, and he ended it with Malachi. It was so loud that all the way from America, it made it to Indore, India, where Pradeep with World Vision, you know, began to desire us to come to different countries in different cities in India. And It was amazing. But the thing was, is that if we don't respond to God, it just becomes an event.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Somebody says, well, this is just an event. It's only an event because we didn't do what the campaign was for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't turn our hearts to God and turn our hearts to our children. It was just powerful. Everything was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing was that, you know, that I was talking to, just because he's older didn't mean he's not that same boy that was sitting there crying in this tunnel of tears being affirmed by a man in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's so many lies now that's sown, and so much accusation that's sown, that anybody's scared to be nice to anybody. Mm. You know, and it's crazy, because if you don't, you know, passion denied perverts, if you don't give them the attention, they're going to demand it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that's why today I think, man, those men were so awesome for 10 years to come out there with those boys, you know, with all society. And it's just the weirdest thing. You won't believe, you know, I'll share it in just a moment, you know, we come back. But they have a Planned Parenthood has an event called Clergy for Choice. Clergy for Choice.
What?
And they have 40 days of prayer. 40 days of prayer for clergy of choice. And they're praying the opposite. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. Why? Because the enemy is against the children.
Mm.
The enemy wants to kill our children. He wants our children to feel unloved. You know, he wants us to not give our children what they need from a parent and from, you know, society. And he wants to divide everybody and make everybody like sand,
mm-hmm,
instead of like concrete. And I just want to encourage you today that if you are that person that, you know, you're 40, you're 50, you're 30, but inside you're still 8 because you got stuck and nobody taught you how to be 9. No man taught you how to be 9. And no one taught you how to be 16. And, you know, outside they're saying, hey, you know, take care of these bills and do this job. And they're blaming you for stuff that you're just surprised you're even there, you know.
Right. Mm.
And inside you're terrified. But realize, you know, that was a strategy of the enemy to emasculate you and not give you what you need. You don't have to just divert and run into some other a wrong relationship trying to get that. God can give that to you. When the church wakes up and becomes, you know, what we're supposed to become, the intimacy that you missed in your family, you come back, you get it. You can't force your people to be something they're not, but you know, who is my mother, who is my brother, Jesus said. You know, in the family of God, you know, you can have mothers and fathers in the Lord. You can have brothers and sisters in the Lord that you can, you know, it's going to be a little bit rough because, you know, you're just not going to believe it. You may show up and kind of just watch what happens, you know, but eventually you start realizing that there is such thing as genuine family. We've got to recapture this.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you'll, you know, start building your confidence, and then you'll actually, you know, you like hearing somebody loves you, and you don't believe it. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you'll start believing it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And all of a sudden, one day, you just fully believe, hey, you know, I'm loved.
Because
that's what the enemy wanted to do. The enemy wanted to take away the reality of God's love for you. And when you're loved, when you know who you are and you're rightly related, I mean, everything else is a no-brainer. I mean, it's just life's real easy at that point. But when you don't know that you're loved and you don't know who you are and you're still, you know, untaught, you know, life circumstances, you know, men learn through observation and practical application and just watching things happen. Mm-hmm. And if they've never had any of those paradigms, or they watched television to learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's amazing. And so I'm going to share some things in the extra hour too, as well. You know, that in Time Magazine, where President Bill Clinton saying 5 ideas that are changing the world. And one of them is that, you know, women come into power. But it's like, how much more power? It's like, you know, the men have disappeared. Where are the men?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, can't we both exist together? Can't we coexist in our roles together? Does one role have to overtake the other role?
Mm-hmm.
And Satan has a strategy. Satan has a strategy. And it's the fathers, you know, who speak the identity and the blessing and over their children, no matter what the devil tells you. and what religion is thinking God has changed. Mm-hmm. And just be encouraged. That's what we're here in this conversation, to encourage you, to let you know, hey, I understood. I understood that the 30-something-year-old man that was on my shoulder as a phone, as I was holding the phone with my shoulder while I'm using my other hands to be able to put the sign, but I also understood the boys that they needed. And I understood, too, the people who were coming against me, because for them not to say what we were doing was important is to say that they're fatherless themselves.
Mm.
And they don't even understand the significant role of that, that even God himself said, unless this actually happens, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse. Mm. If you haven't had a chance yet, go look what happened since 2008. Look what's happened in the world since that day. Definitely. When God told me it's going to happen. We're probably looking at about 10 years of quaking and shaking. But it's not meant to destroy us. It's meant just to get us to look up and turn our hearts back to the Father.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.